the St. Paul Winter Ice Carnival. Good afternoon, everybody. St. Paul, capital city of Minnesota, opened its famous winter sports carnival today with the coronation of King Boreas III, whom the ancient Greeks worshipped as the god of the north wind. With its exhilarating climate, abundance of snow-covered hills, its lakes and rivers, St. Paul is indeed a natural winter playground. Indeed, a paradise for those who enjoy skimming on skis down snowy slopes, gliding smoothly over the ice, or plunging down ice wall chutes on speeding toboggans. Now, for Carnival Week, the weatherman has been especially kind, with the mercury at just about the right degree, and an abundance of soft white snow. As a matter of fact, if my voice is quavering now, be advised that it's about 5 degrees above zero. The city is like a picture of old Russia, with everybody in furs or bright carnival costumes thronging the gaily decorated streets and riding in old-fashioned jingling sleighs. And practically everybody in St. Paul has lent a hand to further the plans for St. Paul's Winter Carnival. And every day of this festive week will be packed with fun. On this coast-to-coast broadcast today, we bring you the opening gun of the carnival, the coronation of Boreas Rex III, with the governor of Minnesota and the mayor of St. Paul officiating. Now, in a very few minutes, the royal procession will begin to wend its way on the platform right here in front of the Ice Palace, on which Columbia Station WCCO has placed its microphone. Here is royal music to entertain His Highness King Boreas III and his minions, who have thronged about the palace here, occupying practically every inch of available space. Wonderland it is. 51 years ago, on January 14, 1886, the cornerstone was laid for St. Paul's first ice palace. Actually, the first ice palace in America, to our knowledge. It was huge and imposing, medieval in design, with multiple battlements, flying buttresses, and a massive tower over 100 feet high. A huge success, that first carnival in 1886 was followed by another in 1887, with an ice palace even bigger and more boldly fantastic. But not until 29 years later was another St. Paul Carnival celebrated. It was organized in 1916 by Lewis Hill, son of the great empire builder James J. Hill. This was repeated the next year, and then discontinued because of the World War. Today, 20 years later, at the opening of another winter carnival, even now we stand in the shadows of St. Paul's newest ice palace, erected on the triangular area facing the state capitol. The Ice Palace, a marvel of modern architectural skill, was designed by Charles Basford, St. Paul City architect. Over 30,000 blocks of ice, weighing about 3,000 tons, have been hauled by truck from a lake 7 miles away to build this palace for King Boreas. To make the walls much stronger than if the cakes were merely frozen together, rope-like paper strips have been used ingeniously between the huge blocks of ice. And this glistening palace shimmers and sparkles in the sun like a priceless jewel, indeed a diamond of a million carats. At night, thousands of colored lights transform it into a glowing iridescent palace, almost too beautiful to be real. Now, the only outside light in the palace is a brilliant sunburst of white shafts thrown skyward, turning the palace into a magnificent topaz silhouette. The walls of this frosted fairy palace... Uh-oh, there's the fanfare. and gentlemen, the fanfare that you heard is the signal for the coronation procession to start toward the palace. And here they come, with standards flying and trumpets blowing, and the stately coronation procession is now moving slowly toward it, here at the Ice Palace, or rather the platform in front of the Ice Palace. Brilliant color is playing an important role in the pageantry of this royal cavalcade. The leader-in-chief of the torchbearers heads the procession in brilliant Cossack uniform of scarlet and yellow with a magnificent cloth cape of gold edged in ermine. Proudly he's bearing his flashing torch, the symbol of his service to the king. Now, after the leader-in-chief, in brisk martial tread comes the Royal Drum and Bugle Corps, 30 men in glittering uniforms, quickening the pulses of the throng with the stirring beat of drums. I wonder if we can hear this drum and bugle corps as they come closer. Photographers everywhere in abundance catching this coronation march as they approach the microphone. Right behind the drum and bugle corps, marching smartly, come the royal torchbearers, about two dozen strong. From our position here in front of the palace, it looks almost like a rainbow approaching. 12 stalwart boys and 12 pretty girls in swirling capes of every color. Red, green, yellow, purple, orange. The spectrum is certainly well represented here. All richly trimmed with ermine, these capes. The girls wear dashing tam-o'-shanters, and the boys are wearing jaunty overseas caps, and every one of them are carrying the brilliant, many-colored torches, symbol of their particular rank. And now, just behind the colorful torchbearers, we catch just a glimpse of His Majesty the King. He rides alone today, as the King's Queen has not yet been chosen. In the 75 carnival marching clubs representing business firms of St. Paul and nearby towns, yes, even representatives from Canada, each has its own colors and costume and its own queen. And from all those queens, on Wednesday night, Rudy Valley, who is with his famed Connecticut Yankees, our distinguished visitors in St. Paul this week, Rudy Valley will choose the most beautiful queen to be consort to Boreas Rex III. So today, Boreas rides alone. One pace behind is the captain of his Royal Hussars Guard. We can't see the king very clearly yet, but we can see the resplendent uniforms of the Royal Hussars. 25 splendid specimens of manhood they are, 6 feet or over, tall, weighing 200 pounds or more. And every hussar looking even more tremendous in his flaring Cossack tunic of rich scarlet bearing the gleaming insignia of the Royal Guards in chromium on his collar. Below, their full black trousers and scarlet gaiters of shining leather add an interesting splash of color. And their dramatic height is accentuated by tall black lambskin shakos with a military chin strap and long red tassel. Altogether, the Royal Hussars, those 24 men who are the king's chosen bodyguard, are so far the most thrilling sight we've seen today. But another band has just come into view, and everybody loves the stirring music of a band. Suppose we pick it up as the procession comes even nearer. Finally reached the platform, ladies and gentlemen. The royal guards surround their king and stand stiffly at attention with the right arm raised in salute. The king! We want to see the king! For the benefit of those of you who might have tuned in late, we are broadcasting the coronation of Boreas Rex III, king of the St. Paul Winter Ice Carnival at St. Paul, Minnesota. The royal procession has now reached the platform steps at the very entrance to the ice palace itself. It's really a gorgeous setting for the ceremony of pomp and splendor, and the welcome crowds are in the gayest of spirits as those great, strapping, six-foot royal hussars clear a beaten path to the platform for their monarch. Now, standing at salute is the St. Paul American Legion Band, here to pay homage to King Boreas. And as the king graciously acknowledges their salute, I think the band leader strikes it up. As the king starts to mount the platform steps, closely attended by the captain of the Royal Hussars. Now the king bows graciously,
and the rise is silent. And this is the moment for which St. Paul has been waiting many weeks. There is definitely a sense of expectancy in the air, and as the king mounts the platform and moves majestically towards the throne, it is a hushed and a solemn moment. Then... As the king is seated on his throne, the crowd has broken out again, this time in the wildest enthusiasm, a reception which the king acknowledges with bows and smiles. There he's standing up. It's a scene of brilliant splendor, of gorgeous pomp and pageantry. Boreas Rex is truly regal, make no mistake about that, with his snow-white hair and magnificent physique. Beneath his cloak of royal purple velvet, rich with ermine, he wears a uniform of dazzling white capeskin, resplendent with gold braid on his breast, the medal of his royal house. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the moment has come, the actual crowning of the king. During the coronation ceremony, two of Minnesota's most distinguished sons will officiate. First, it is our honor to present His Excellency Elmer Benson, Governor of the State of Minnesota.
Salutations, America, from St. Paul, the winter sports carnival capital of the nation. St. Paul inaugurates today a week of pageantry, a carnival of gaiety and brilliance, dedicated to the wintertime magnificence of Minnesota, the great North Star State. Boreas, whom the ancient Greeks worshipped as the god of the north wind, will rule supreme for 8 days and nights of merrymaking in a realm of icy splendor. Thousands of loyal subjects have gathered to acclaim King Boreas and to celebrate his coronation in this light-jeweled palace of ice. As governor of Minnesota, and an obedient subject of His Majesty, I now entrust to Mayor Guillen, the province of St. Paul, the kingdom of King Boreas.
Thank you, Governor Benson. May I first thank the Columbia Broadcasting System and WCCO for their wonderful cooperation in this winter sports carnival. Your Majesty, to me, has been entrusted the province of St. Paul. an enchanting realm of playgrounds, lakes, and parks, which soon will be placed under the scepter of your sovereignty. And now, as the cheering multitude of merrymakers awaits to acclaim you, it is my solemn duty to place on your royal head the golden crown of your illustrious predecessors.
Mayor Mark Guillen of St. Paul has abdicated in favor of King Boreas III, whose voice you now hear.
Greetings, loyal subjects of the realm. In the spirit of deep humility, I accept the honor, crown of Boreas, and solemnly promise my faithful performance of its responsibilities. Through the royal and imperial power conferred upon me, my first royal decree will be directed toward the complete rout of mankind's insidious enemy, dull care. Therefore, let there be music, song, laughter. Turn loose the untapped forces of geniality and good fun. Let bands play, flags wave. Let the gay tread of marching feet resound through the streets and boulevards and echo over the natural loveliness of St. Paul's Seven Hills. Let the colorful costuming of my merry minions weave animated pictures against the glorious background of sparkling white snow. Let the spirit of high carnival blend harmoniously with the festive pursuits of a happy people. Bring forth the flashing silvery skates, the swift and slender skis, the tingling sleigh bells, the thrilling toboggan. Let colorful pageantry of wholesome play be woven into a magnificent tapestry of neighborliness and good fun. So, let us gather, my legions of merrymakers, and for 8 days and nights, fun and frolic will prevail on the carnival field of historic St. Paul, the capital city of my dominion. By royal decree, the spirit of carnival is now proclaimed.
The royal salute of 21 guns.
Let's bring it.
The court musicians now pay tribute in song to their new king, Boreas III, with the melody of winter. Continuing the broadcast of the coronation of King Boreas III in the St. Paul Winter Ice Carnival at St. Paul, Minnesota, the court musicians sing one of St. Paul's traditional carnival songs to the tune of When You Wore a Tulip. Entertaining the king is the American Legion Band of St. Paul, playing now for you the Skater's Waltz. As the echoes of the trumpeters die away, the royal hussars form a double line of guards and stand at salute as the king prepares to leave the platform. But first, the drum and bugle corps step briskly off in double file. Next, the torchbearers in their strikingly beautiful capes of many colors, holding their torches high in homage to their king, march from the platform. And then the splendid hussars, gorgeous in scarlet and black, form a guard for the king. a pace behind King Boreas, comes the captain of the Royal Guards, and here comes the band. Musicians bring up the rear, singing the official marching song of the carnival. A great pageant ends, but St. Paul's famous winter sports carnival is just beginning, for this broadcast was the opening gun in the week's festivities, the coronation of Boreas Rex III, god of the north wind and king of the carnival. For 8 days, King Boreas will rule, and the spirit of carnival will prevail, a colorful pageantry of winter sports in St. Paul, the winter sports playground of America. At this point, ladies and gentlemen, the crowd is dispersing, moving pictures, being taken. The special version of the main Stein song heard in this program is performed by permission of Carl Fisher. Edmund Abbott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.